Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome, everybody. It is March 26, 2021. It is Friday. It is the last Friday of March. How about that?
How about that?
You know, it sneaks up. Yeah, it is March 26, 2021. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel Show. Today we are broadcasting live from sunny Lubbock, Texas, but we're actually going to be talking about the Texas Hill Country, which is about, I think it was at a five-hour drive south of here. It is a beautiful area. Both Lubbock is beautiful, and Texas Hill Country is exquisite. Nancy and I got to spend a week there, and that's what we're focusing on today. And, of course, you guys know we're Nancy and Lisa, crazy mother-daughter travel team on the Love Your Parks Tour, where we travel full-time documenting parks and public land. And we also publish two digital magazines. We've got Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine. That's our variety publication, also covers travel. And we also publish Parks and Travel Magazine, which is on its way out. So if you go to nationalparktraveling.com, sign up for our newsletter, and you'll get it in your email box in just, you know, about, what, 48 hours, Nancy? 48 hours, 72 hours? It's all good. So we have three guests joining us, and the first one is Dawn. Dawn and her husband, Don Walters, are the owners of Black Buck Lodge in Bandera County. And listen, Bandera, the town or city of Bandera, is known as the cowboy capital of the world. And Nancy and I, the first day we were there, we got there, we ran out to Bandera from Black Buck Lodge, Bandera County. That's where her vacation rental is, Dawn's vacation rental is. And we ran out to Bandera, and she
told
me there's cowboys. And we went to photograph the old historic courthouse, and lo and behold, there were truckloads of cowboys, like real ones, like serious. They're there, and they're cute. But so anyway, I want you all to check out Dawn's amazing, amazing place. You want to go to Black Buck Lodge, Bandera.com. This is an amazing vacation home, and we got to spend a few nights there. So Dawn, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm just happy as a pig in mud to be here, Lisa. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you and Nancy.
Hey,
well, I want to be
a pig
in
the
mud.
Let's go roll in the mud. That's what I feel like.
I feel like rolling in mud right now.
I'm so thankful that even the show is airing. Like, you know, I think even when we were at Black Buck Lodge, I just went outside and had a beer and wanted to throw my computer in the window, but I wouldn't do that because your place is so peaceful. Computer updates are driving me bonkers. So I'm glad it's Friday, and I'm glad we're talking about your area. Your home, your band, the Black Buck Lodge. There are black bucks.
So
there's
cool.
Deer. There's like all these beautiful animals,
so cool.
Birds and squirrels, and beautiful there. And Nancy and I realized when we were there that we actually needed a vacation. There was just all of a sudden we couldn't move.
True.
Does that happen to people? Do you hear that? That people just all of a sudden have all these things planned, but then you just want to sit on the patio, the front or the back, and watch the wildlife and not move. Does that happen to others?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
When
that
we're there,
awesome.
That's the majority of my time is spent on that back porch.
Yeah. So cool.
And that's where a lot of the deer come in from the back, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. That area back where our parking area is a heavily traveled wildlife trail. And so you see white-tailed deer, axis deer, and black buck traveling through there in large numbers throughout the day.
It's so beautiful. The surroundings, I mean, and you're on a scenic byway, too. So you get a lot of people that drive that just come out to drive. How beautiful it is.
Yes, ma'am. We're situated at the start of what they refer to as the Three Sisters route, which is the number one motorcycle touring route in the state of Texas.
Cool.
And that's the number one destination for our guests. Most of them are traveling on two wheels to come do that route. And, You know, you've been there, so you can see how we're very convenient to both that you know, those more remote areas and also to the services back in town.
We're also part
of what's called the Heart of Texas Wildlife Trail, and we're on what they call the Bandera Loop of that.
Nice. It's so pretty. Nice. The Bandera. Mm-hmm. So you really are the cowboy capital. Like, we're not kidding around about the cowboys. And we did see them. I mean,
I'm glad to hear that it lived up to my hype.
Yeah, it did.
Lisa studied the cowboys.
I did.
I was looking at the black buck, but she was after the cowboys.
I mean, it was like it was that first day we were there. All of a sudden, like, a whole bunch of cowboys drove by, and I was like, oh my God. But really, I did go and learn there's a plaza there, a very historic plaza, a beautiful sculpture, Rembrandt sculpture there. It really talks about how Bandera became the cowboy capital. And, you know, it's really part of that big North American cattle drive that went all the way up through, I think, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, and all the way up to Canada. But it really, I think it started in Bandera, right? I'm not good on the history part yet. We'll get there. But we do have a guest coming on later in the show, a wonderful Mary, and that's Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, like, you know, Christmas. Mary Lanaise, she is a historian, a naturalist, a photographer, and author of Critters of Red Heart, The Winged Ones. She's going to talk about birds and butterflies and pollinators and history. So she'll be on the show later. And we also have Lisa Fitzsimmons, the superintendent of Lost Maples State Natural Area, which is around the corner from Don's place. Beautiful area. We spent the day hiking. She'll be on the show talking about the birds, the wildlife, the hiking trails, and how beautiful it is there. But Don, you know, you're our first guest, and you're going to be sitting in as our guest co-host. We should be doing this, you know, at Black Buck Lodge. I'm just saying.
Oh, that'd
I wish we were
so
on the patio together. You know, it would have been really ideal, but, you know, life things going on. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the lodge itself, because this home, you know, when we drove up, you drive up this huge, long driveway with trees and, you know, you've got a wildflower area that you've started. But getting into the home, this home is big. And you said, don't worry, when you get there, everything is there. This is like a fully equipped vacation rental. And Nancy and I have done a lot of travel, a lot of vacation rentals, you know. And I want to say, I think you outdid yourself in regards to having everything there.
No, you win.
And in working order.
We didn't have to go to the car and get anything but our clothes. Because we travel and we know we go places where they have everything and then we go get stuff out of the car because we know. But you win. We didn't have to go to the car and get anything out but our clothes.
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that feedback. Jim and I had, for years and years, we had primitive camped. And, you know, I guess I should say this is not, you know, it's not an investment property. This is a home that we bought for ourselves that is going to be the home that we retire in just a few years. So this is in the meantime thing. And we were so tired of primitive camping after years and years of doing it that we wanted a place that we could get in the car and go on vacation with the clothes on our back, walk in the door and be set up. And so that's what you find when you get there.
Yeah.
We also have tried to be mindful of the fact that there are no 24-hour stores anywhere nearby. So there are certain things there for emergencies that, you know, people will find a lot of extras there.
And coffee.
Yes.
There's coffee. That's important. Everybody needs coffee, you know.
Yeah.
But you do, you know, I think there's something really cool about the area itself. Like, and, you know, the home is just like you say, you just want to stay and hang out. But Medina is the town that you're in, and it's real small, and it's known as the International Apple Capital, or, you know, I don't know, it's a capital. It's all about apples. There's a monument with a giant apple. It also has a phone booth with a phone in it. Like, who sees that anymore, right?
Who left the phone there? It was still operational.
Oh, we should have tried to make a phone call.
I know.
It's no longer
you.
Operational.
Oh, it isn't?
Oh.
No, up until just a few years ago, it was.
But you could stand inside and have a conversation, and people would walk by and look at you and think, what?
Yeah. I know. I kind of miss phone booths.
Me too.
You know? So when I saw that, I thought it was exciting. But tell us a little bit of the town, because we did a lot of the nature stuff and went hiking. And tell us a little bit about the side that we didn't see of the town, Medina and Bandera, in regards to shopping. There was like that huge lodgepole, I've got lodge stuck in my head now. But it's all this log furniture and everything, a store there. You've got an old mercantile. I mean, it's really got the authentic small town Texas feel there, and it's real. It's like you don't get to see this very often in travels, but you definitely do in your area. But what is the shopping like for you going around? And because even the house, you said a lot of what you decorated the house comes from local vendors, right?
That's true. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the log store, the log furniture store, and I'm glad you did. That's a beautiful place in Medina, right next to the Old Timer General Store, which is a big red metal building there in Medina that a lot of people are familiar with as a landmark on the turnoff to the start of that Three Sisters tour. And just up the road from there is that log furniture store. And there is beautiful hand-carved log furniture with all different sorts of exotic woods. And the people in there are just the nicest people. And they don't mind if you just go in and shop and treat it like an art gallery. And they're happy to talk to you about their pieces. So I recommend that as a stop for sure. And then when we go, because as you mentioned, we are a self-service vacation rental, not a bed and breakfast. So for a good breakfast, right across Main Street, up a little bit further up the road, heading toward Bandera, is a red building called Keese's Barbecue, and we go in there for breakfast. I like their biscuits and gravy.
Cool.
Another good breakfast spot in Bandera is called the Cracked Mug Bandera, and that is a family and veteran-owned and operated business. You can find them on Instagram at Cracked Mug Bandera, and they have Wi-Fi in there. So if people are looking for that, that's a good spot. For shopping, and you mentioned stuff that's in our house, the big yellow rose that's out front by the gate came from Cedar Street Market. And Cedar Street Market is a consignment shop. It's off of Main Street Bandera near Trips Tire. And they sell these beautiful tin lawn garden sculptures. And they also have clothing, art, candles, and because, you know, it's a bunch of independent vendors in there, so you really never know what you're going to find, so it's a fun place to check in over and over. In the master bathroom, there's a little Western table to set the cosmetics and such on, and that came from one of my very favorite places, Western Trail Antiques, and that's down at the end of Main Street toward where Bandera City Park is and the Visitors Bureau on that end of town. And you need to set aside, if you're a shopper and an antiquer, you need to set aside some time to go into Western Trail Antiques. It's two-story, and it's a big, huge warehouse. And there, again, it's a consignment shop, and so you find a very eclectic collection of all sorts of Western-themed things. And we have quite a few pieces from around the house that are from there. And in the future, we're going to have even more.
No, but your home is so, I mean, it is so well appointed, you know, and that sounds that kind of verbiage, but it really is. And you haven't it is so Texas, yet the comfort is maximum, but it's not over cluttered. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like this, I don't know, it's perfect, man. It's just so comfortable. Then you have that spaciousness and the furniture and the decor. Some of the decor items you have in there are really funny. Like you have some funny stuff in there. The bathroom humor and all kinds of good stuff. But, I mean, it's like total comfort but has that rustic feel. And I think what's great is when lodging places keep the integrity of the region with what they're doing. So you really feel like you're in the Texas Hill Country. You feel like you're in Texas. You're representing the whole state there. And that's a big state. So it's like you're there. So I think that's really cool that you're shopping locally. And also, I want people to know about your amazing A to Z, what to see and do in Bandera County on your website. You've got a blog there, and everyone, you've got to check it out. It's blackbucklodgebandera.com. Do I have that right with your website?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Oh, good. See, you did A to Z. Now, do you have more to add in there? I mean, that was a long thing that you did. That's amazing.
The A to Z guide, as best as I can tell, is the first A to Z format guide anybody's ever put together on the Internet. You know, Bandera, as you mentioned, the authenticity of it is real. It's always been a very small town. In fact, right now you saw a Tractor Supply there. That was a big thing. We now have a Family Dollar in Medina. That was a big thing. We just got Wi-Fi and Internet installed right before y'all came.
Oh, wow.
DSL has only recently become available in the area. So this is a very traditional rural town. And as far as the decor in our home, that's groceries. Those mounts on the walls were my dad's, and that was literally food that went into our bellies over a long period of time. My dad had a very large trophy collection and downsized his house, and that's his overflow.
So do you guys kind of like live off the land over there? And I know that, it's definitely rural. I mean, that's the thing. You go out of the city, but you're not far from Austin. You're not far from Kerrville, right? So, I mean, for a lot of your guests, are they coming from those big cities, like from Dallas, to come out and have that authentic experience?
Yes, ma'am. I'd say the vast majority of our guests either are coming up from the North Texas area or coming up from the Gulf Coast area, just generally speaking. Of course, we've had them from all over the state. We've had people come in from all the way up from in the Panhandle just to come down and ride those Three Sisters. So it's a really popular tour.
And it seems like, you know, you're talking about motorcycles, but the area is also equestrian with, a lot of people taking their horses out, especially we went to, now we're going to be talking about Las Maples State Natural Area, but you've got the Hill Country Natural Area as well, real close to you. And the Medina River, it's so beautiful. This is the thing about Texas. You guys have picnic areas all throughout the state. I don't know any other state that's doing that yet. You know, we haven't stumbled on them yet. But, I mean, the amount of picnics, the roadside picnic stops are incredible. And you have one that's on the Medina River when you drive from, you know, Black Buck to Bandera. And then you have the city park, Bandera City Park, with the Medina River. That color of that river is so beautiful. But we just put that up on a map, by the way. You don't know this yet, but it's being featured in the next issue of Parks and Travel magazine, too. We have a map of community parks across the country that we've been to. And it's all about parks that are free. And this park is free only during the week. But it is, you know, we're talking about parks that have recreation and fitness and, community in mind. And this one definitely does. As a city park, it was pretty outstanding. I mean, you're along the river, people are fishing, feeding the ducks, but that's also equestrian. And that's unique to have that in a city park. Horses can go there too. So that's something I've noticed. I know you're dog friendly, but do you ever think you're going to put stables there too?
I don't think we would, but we do have room for people who are hauling livestock trailers if they're coming in for the livestock show and rodeo events. So we have that nice long circular driveway that people can use for that.
Wow. And you are dog friendly. I mean, that's cool too. You can have that
we
whole
are
area.
Friendly. And and I do want to point out that, you know, you mentioned the equestrians. If you go to the City of Bandera website, there's a warning right there on their website that reminds visitors to look out for horse traffic, because that's a regular thing. It's not uncommon at a night, you know, if you're out in the nightlife, like somewhere such as the 11th Street Cowboy Bar, which is a very popular nightlife spot there, it's not unusual to see people ride up on horseback, because there's no laws against driving horseback.
Nope. No way. So you can really go to a hitching post.
Yes,
get hit.
Yes, there's hitching posts outside of most all of the establishments up and down Main Street Bandera, and there's usually water dishes for your dogs, too. It's a very dog-friendly destination.
Cool.
And while
very
we're
cool.
talking about nightlife, Arky Blue's Silver Dollar is a very popular night. It is everything you imagine in your head when you hear the word honky-tonk. And Arky
cool.
Blue, the owner, is literally a living legend. He was inducted into the historical, the Frontier Times Museum, Texas Heroes Hall of Fame. I know I'm not saying
oh,
the whole name
wow.
correctly, but he's
cool.
been a living legend since 2005. You know, they say people know who he is from all over the world. He's got all sorts of country and Western memorabilia from decades and decades that he's had that same honky-tonk. And it's you go downstairs, and it's underneath Main Street Bandera.
Oh, cool. Oh,
yes,
very
ma'am.
Cool. That's cool.
And over
that is...
at the 11th Street Cowboy Bar, the one thing I don't want to forget to mention is on Wednesday nights over there, they have steak nights. So they have the barbecue pits, the grills. They're all stoked up with the fire and ready for you to throw your own steak that you bring in. And you can
oh.
roll your own steaks out there. People like to do that and go out and have fellowship and dance. It's got a big outdoor dance hall and live
cool.
music and such.
Cool.
And they have, that's a big spot for the Mardi Gras.
You know,
wow,
this is
they
cool.
Have,
like,
they have a big
ooh,
Mardi Gras celebration every year. Yes, ma'am.
So
wow.
did, were you raised out in that area? Like your dad, and you're talking about your dad and growing up. So like this is your backyard as a kid. That's beautiful.
Well,
land.
I grew up, my dad always hunted. My dad is a avid hunter. That's, you know, that's his thing. And I started off as a baby in tents up there, and then he started getting deer leases, and I was always on the deer lease with him. And then in the early 1980s, he bought a piece of land that is just up the road from where our place is now. And so we had a second home there growing up. I grew up with a foot in both worlds, you know, in the city and spending all of our spring breaks and Christmas breaks and summers growing up in the hill country.
You know, I think that it's important that youth, and that's the other thing. I mean, the way your home is set up, it's private. You really are, I mean, you're right off the scenic route. So there is the road right there, but you're private. It feels incredibly safe. Like Nancy and I just felt really, yeah, you know, we really just, like, that was a good detox.
It was like
place.
Home.
It was, well, we had a lot more wine, so I don't know. But, no, but it
really,
there.
Really made me feel like I was back in Africa.
I know.
And and that to me, because it's a second home or a home as well as the States. And I felt like I was back in South Africa.
Yeah,
it really feels
I really
South
did.
Africa.
Yeah,
it's
even though I know the black buck are from India and such, it's still with the deer and everything just roaming free. And I don't know, I just like, oh, I could live here.
I know. And the garden, like, I love all the ball moss that you have out there and how it like hooks up onto the road wires and everything. And I found out, so I got all excited about ball moss. This is like the first thing. Like, so, and some of it's here. I didn't tell you, Don, we stole ball moss.
Take
it.
Bring a pickup truck next time. Bring a dump truck.
I was going to text you and say, do you mind if I take some ball moss that flew off the trees? You know,
somebody asked for it.
Yeah, and it's
because
here.
They
it's
come
here.
From Texas and they want it.
Our friend where we are right now in where we are in Lubbock.
Yeah. Okay.
So her family she was like, as you know, posting photos on Facebook, you know, and she's a friend on Facebook with me, and she's all, you're down the road from my family's old ranch. So she had they went like kind of what your like childhood was going down there, you know. And she's like, I want ball moss. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to ask permission. And I thought if I texted you and said, Don, do you mind if I take a ball moss to Lubbock with me?
I wish you would have texted me because I would have insisted that you take a whole 55-gallon trash bag full of it.
But we had it in a Walmart bag, And we took it to Beaumont, Texas, right? Now, you know, like, every have is in this car, right? So we got to Beaumont, Texas in our RAV4.
The Beaumont.
We checked into a little hotel because we're doing big tickets. So now the Beaumont, like, we need to protect it. Nothing can get on top of it in the hotel room. Don't put it too much by the air conditioner. You know, this Beaumont. And then we went to Austin, and then we're like, okay, we're this high, beautiful house in Austin, and we're like, okay, and then I'm seeing Beaumont everywhere, and I'm like, okay, we're still in the hill country. So the Beaumont sat outside, and then the wind came, took the Beaumont away, so now Cheryl has a mixture of Austin and Bandera Beaumont. But I got all excited about this, and Lisa Fitzsimmons from the park, Lost Maples knows. She's like, you know, this is everywhere, like you're saying, take it all out. But I looked it up. Beaumont is actually not a moss. It is like an air plant, and it grows on these beautiful trees and maples and oaks and whatever it can grab its little fingers on. And it turns out to be related to bromeliads. I mean, you go in the, you know, stores and you see bromeliads for your house, those beautiful tropical plants, which you can actually see live in the wild in Everglades National Park. You'll see them growing in trees with these beautiful flowers, but we've just adapted them for our gardens. But that's its closest relative. And I think that's cool. And they do have little flowers. I want to see the flowers. So when they flower, please put it on your blog. Because I want to see the flowers now.
They do open up and they drop little seeds too. And I was looking on Etsy for a project that I'm doing. I was ordering some stuff. And there are enterprising people from our area who are getting big money for Beaumont on Etsy, I guess selling it to people in areas where it doesn't grow. And it's a nuisance to all of us who live there. But I think I'm going to consider being a Beaumont supplier on Etsy in my retirement years.
Sure, why not?
Oh, I love, this is hysterical. Who knew that we'd even be talking Beaumont on the show? But, you know, there's a lot of Beaumont to go around. That stuff is like, it's like gremlins. Add water and more will pop out.
Why don't you like it?
I love it.
Well, it gets to be a nuisance because it weighs your oak trees down. It gets too thick on them and starts weighing down the branches.
Oh.
And also it starts producing too much can impede photosynthesis. And I'll tell you, there are big debates as to whether or not Beaumont hurts your trees or not. But it seems pretty obvious that after a rain, if it's coated down with Beaumont, your branches are going to break. So
that's
the reason. It's a nuisance. You have to go through and thin it out every so often. There are people who will come in and service. Yes, ma'am.
It is native.
Oh, my gosh. Excuse me. Please come thin out my Beaumont. That's hysterical. Sorry, that's funny.
I want to hear phone call.
I know. That's hysterical. But for the trees, you know, it's interesting. And, you know what I think, too, which is so great about the hill country? It's the same thing as when we lived in Arizona. You know, people would visit and they would think Arizona is just one big desert, one big flat desert. And Arizona is absolutely far more like, it's like California is only the beach. That's not true. And Arizona's got waterfalls and tropical areas and it's everything, a little bit of everything. And same with Texas. I mean, it is a Lone Star and it's a big state. They say everything's big in Texas. It's really true. But the hill country, I think, is just... It's awesome, rustic, like high. It's like a high desert. It is like Africa. And then you put zebras on your list. We saw zebras on our way here the other day, and we like did a like, what the heck? But they look like they belong here. You know what I mean? So it is African out here. It is like Africa. It's that wild feeling, and it's beautiful.
Well, it's the plains. It's the plains.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I dig it.
That part
are you seeing families? Because that was one thing I wanted to go back to is the importance of kids getting out into areas like this. Because, you know, when you're in the city so much, you know, going out and going for a hike like at Lost Maples and also the Hill Country Park, there were wildflowers popping up even after the big freeze. It was so magical. But for families, like the way you're set up with Black Buck Lodge, you know, to me, like, you know, extended families can stay there. I mean, how many people can you fit in the house? So it looks like you can do a lot.
Well, We have a capacity of 7. We don't take any party any larger than that, and we're really ideal for, like, say, 5 adults, and then the extras being kids, because if it's 7, somebody's going to be on one of the 2 air mattresses, and I think that's fine for families with children. But going back to your point, I really do. You touched on something that's very important to me, and that is that, our world has changed a lot since I was a kid, when we didn't have computers and video games, and we were out on our bikes and in the woods and climbing trees. And I think a lot of that has gotten lost on a certain segment, of our first world generation, this current first world generation. And I think that some of them may be coming to a rural area for the very first time ever. And with the blog content that I'm putting out there at blackbucklodgebandera.com, I'm really trying to put a lot of educational content that the parents can share with their kids to kind of, prepare them and get them a little bit excited about what they're going to see and do out there, instead of, oh man, you're taking me somewhere where there's no malls and movie theaters, really, Mom?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And out there, though, I mean, there's a freedom of spirit. Like, I understand motorcyclists wanting to just, have your hair go wild in the wind, and I understand it being on horseback and on foot. It just feels such a connection to the land out there, and I love that. I just love that it just is beautiful to drive. And when we were there, it was like doing the spring weather of like, no, we're not going to give you sunshine, and then maybe we'll give you some, and maybe it won't. And I'm like, come on, this is our time to be here. But it was still really, really beautiful, and I like weather. I like whatever weather does. I like it because it's fascinating. But it was so beautiful, and just I dig the town. Bandera's like neat, and there's this one store. I want to go back to the shopping that we didn't get to. And I really want, is a Mexican decor store. It's right on the corner. Like if you go towards the city park, it's right by there. Mm. And it's all this colorful work. And I think the area's done like a really good job of blending all the cultures too, It's kind of a wild spirit of culture.
Well, there have been 6 flags over Texas, as they say, and that's the name of the theme parks. And we really have, adopted so much of all of the influences. Like, one big thing in Texas is sausage kolaches. And that comes from the heavy Polish influence that you see there in Bandera. And the Polish sausages have been permeated with the Mexican influences because, you find the jalapeno and all of those, Mexican-flavored blends. Mm. Yes. And then I don't know if Mary's going to talk to you about that Saints. I'm going to slaughter the pronunciation. The big Polish church down there.
It's beautiful.
And that's a big historic landmark there.
Yes. It's a huge
that you mentioned is right on the corner when you're heading down to Western Trail Antiques. So you can hit that shop up on the way down there. There's a lot of other ones, the Bandera General Store, and lots of great shops down there.
What's the one, the little red one in the corner in Medina with the little gas station? What's that called again?
The Old Timer.
The old timer.
Mm.
Like, really, when we first saw it, there was like an old timer sitting outside, like with a really long beard. And I'm all, I mean, I should have photographed him, but it didn't,
rude.
I'm not being rude. I'm just saying, I just looked at it, I was like, that's wild. Like,
you have to ask permission. You can't just do it.
But it's so neat because
that place.
She's going to know who I'm talking about now.
That place is a great place to stop for coffee in the morning, and you'll see all of the locals gathered around talking about, the weather or their livestock or whatever the town gossip is. So it's everybody knows everybody there.
It's like the Apple Bonanza, the TV show. It's like Bonanza. That's what I felt like. You could just like... It's like Bonanza. Just ride up, hitch your horse, go into the saloon.
She wants the saloon style. I'm with you. Well, but the thing, the apple thing is interesting too. The apple orchards out there, and you've got the wine country right there too. And you got to think about, I mean, you got Texas Wine Con. That's what we drove through the whole way there. And by the way, we figured out it was a ring-tailed cat that we saw on the way to your house.
Yeah.
When we drove it, because we drove in late, late at night. But the wildlife, again, is just amazing. But, just think about all those wineries we passed. And I was like, you know, we need more time here because we need to go to the wineries. So is that also part of, the visitors that come stay at the house going to the wineries? Because you got all this food. You might as well have wine. I'm all for wine.
Texas is an up-and-coming, Central Texas is an up-and-coming wine region. There's more than 50 wineries, vineyards in the Hill Country area. Right up the road, when you're in Vanderpool, on the way to Lost Maples, you pass the Lost Maples Winery. And I'm going to be doing a blog post in the next couple of days because they have an event coming up this first week in April out there. So there will be an update about that when I have more details.
Oh, cool. And there's the Motorcycle Museum. They were closed when we went just because we were there during the week and early in the week. But there's a motorcycle museum out there, too. And it looks like it's like a hangout spot too. There's all like chairs outside and stuff. So it looks like it's like a gathering post.
Well, just, you mentioned, about Texas's rest stops. It's a big state and there's long stretches in between your stops. And so we like to have our nice little places to stop and rest. And yes, because a lot of people are out in motorcycle clubs or they know each other out on the road and they're just meeting up at these various spots. And it's, there's so much fellowship. Everybody's friendly out there. It's just great. It's fantastic.
Mm. We dig it. We dig it. Well, let's play some music. How does that feel? We picked this song especially for you. And it's by our friend Paul Butler. Paul and his wife Erna have a band. Mm. So I had a band in South Africa, when I was growing up. And, I was raised with their son and their daughter, Liesel, my big sister. And Nancy used to do artwork. We're in this big resort with paint, and they ran, the bar had the bands. And this, he is an amazing singer. Ern is an amazing singer, amazing songwriter. And this song, I grew up with this song. Like,
yeah,
it's never left my body. And we finally got it. It's the first time we get to air it on the show. They've had to remaster it because this all came off of old tape and vinyl and, trying to get it so that it can be digitized is like a whole other deal. And we carried this across the country and around the world, and vinyl doing that is not easy. So anyway, they finally got this where we can play it on the show, and it's called House in the Country. And being at your place, I was like, we're sitting on the porch going, oh yeah, this is the song for the play. And especially because it does look like South Africa, it feels like South Africa.
Yeah.
Feels like where I was raised. And so here it is. This is by Paul Butler and his wife Erna, and it's called House in the Country. So take a listen.
There's a house out in the country, away from the crowded city. It's the kind of home you dream of, and it's waiting there for you. From the city madness, away from the city sadness, of the child playing in the road, of the old man with nowhere to go. There's a high
Everyone, again, that was House Out in the Country by Paul Butler. It's so good to finally play that, Nancy.
Dude, I'm crying.
Oh, you can't cry. You can't cry. You can't cry. I remember it being longer for some reason.
Yeah.
I do. I do remember it. It's really special to hear that again. But don't you think it goes with your house, the Black Buck Lodge, Dawn?
Absolutely. Great choice. Thank you for that.
You bet. You bet. You know, it really is a beautiful house out in the country, and it's special. It touches our hearts. Hearing that song touches our hearts being there. I mean, it was just like this magic experience. And one of the places we really had a good time was at Lost Maple State Natural Area, and that's in Vanderpool, Texas, which is literally down the road from Dawn's, from Black Buck Lodge. But right now they're doing some road construction, which is a good thing. Let me tell you, the whole country is under road construction, and we need it. Trust me, we need it. It's annoying, but we need it, and we want smooth rides. And so there's some construction. Do you know how long that's going to be going on for?
That's the question of the day. I'm getting a lot of questions on that, and I have a travel advisory on the blog, and we keep it updated continuously. The most recent information I have is around the middle of next month, but we know what happened last month, and that did delay the construction. So we do have a 2021 scenic route guide out there that helps people navigate themselves a new route and find some new pit stops. So go check that out if that matters to you.
Yeah, you know, we took the scenic route there. And to me, I'm so glad we did. It was so beautiful because we went by to Utopia. We went to Utopia as well. And I didn't know it was a water place until I read your A to Z blog. It's the letter U. You can go to Utopia.
And on that route on Ranch Road 470, you pass Mac and Ernie's, which was featured on the very first ever episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and they've been featured on the Food Network several times since then. They're known for their cabrito burger. They also serve wild game, and then they also serve normal meats, too. They have a big, huge outdoor dining area. The very first time they showed up on the Food Network, they only had outdoor dining, but they do now have indoor dining as well. Highly recommended. Check them out at macandernies.com, macandernies.com.
Wow, she knows it, man. She's got it going on. She knows everything of what's happening. But, I didn't expect Utopia. So, but this was a place where water was coming. So is that because there is, like, water springs? I mean, when we're at Lost Maples, the water there was beautiful. And just the river and there's that beautiful, like Medina River. Look at that blue. You know, you guys must have a lot of limestone in your rock because that's probably why you have such good wine, too, in the hill country. We've had some Texas wine. It's good. But, you know, when you think about that was where water came from, like Utopia. You drank Utopia, literally, at one point. You're saying in your blog that it was in grocery stores.
Yes, ma'am. That's an artesian spring up there, and I think around the late 90s they stopped selling it. I don't really exactly know when. I just know we used to have it, and then we don't anymore, and I think it was for conservation reasons most likely. The river that runs through Lost Maples is the Sabinal, and I know Lisa's going to talk about Lost Maples.
Lisa is not making it, that I can tell. I don't, you know, but she's a superintendent of a park, and she's a park ranger. It's Friday. And so, you know what happens to park rangers. They, you know, anybody sees the park ranger uniform and, you know, they're the rock stars of the park. They get, you know,
million
all kinds
questions.
Of questions. It's really always hard to get. Yeah, Fridays are not good to get a park ranger on. So, but hopefully she'll be able to get through. I'm not sure. But Lost Maples, we went there. And, you know, she was saying,
beautiful.
You know, it, from what I've heard, and everyone that was, you know, oh, you got to go in the fall, you got to go in fall. And I'm like, that was beautiful to me. Apparently, this is a big deal for fall. You have to make reservations. But, and there's spring wildflowers. And we were there, there was the beginning of spring wildflowers.
That's so awesome.
And, like, some of the green was starting to come through. And to me, that is exciting, is to see that change of season, to be there before it gets into its full glory, but to see nature in its beginning of its journey. You know what I mean? You know, it's I think traveling off season all the time is good too, because it's quieter, but that is a popular park. It really is. Even for the season we were in, people are out there with their families, with their dogs, hiking. The trails were awesome, but you did the one. We did a couple trails, but you've got the one with, like, the, is it the monkey grotto, like the big monkey face rock?
Yeah,
that's a long hike. That's
on
crazy.
The east loop. It's about 4.5 miles, and my niece and her fiance's kids came out and visited us, and I said, well, we're going to go on a hike. And so we took them out, and I said, yeah, it's about 4.5 miles as we set out. And I think they thought I was joking at first. And going back to the point we were making earlier about how these kids live very different lifestyles than what we did, and, I mean, you would have thought we were torturing them. They were like, are you kidding me? But we stopped off. There's a Sabinal River crossing along through there. There's waterfalls along through there. Stop off and soak your feet in the river. It's a really great way to spend a day. And it's mostly a moderate hike on that loop. There is a challenging stretch as you approach the summit. I have to stop and take several breaks and catch my breath to get all the way up there. But that's fine. You just take your time.
Exactly. You can do anything if you're allowed to take your time.
Mm-hmm. And you're right that it is beautiful there in every season. You really should make reservations online if you're coming in to see Los Maples. But in the autumn, you have to. If you don't make the reservations online, you should not expect to be able to get in during the autumn months when the color is spectacular. That's what people come to see.
See, that's but you wouldn't think that, right? That's, again, talking about how we have that, Texas is like the big desert kind of thing. You know, it's like you don't have the gumbo cactus, but you have octillos and things. And so, you know, just to get that understanding, like Texas has fall colors. And, you know, if you don't go to Texas, you may not know that. You know what I mean? But it's also an important birding destination. And when we were there, you have all kinds of birds we don't always see. Texas is an incredible destination for bird watching. One thing you guys have is green jays, and I want to see one. I have not seen one yet, so we got to come back just for the green jay. I want to see a green jay. You have a cool woodpecker, like a baby woodpecker, in your trees that we were watching and filming and stuff. And we have all those little teeny little birds and songbirds. But when we sat and met with Lisa, she was saying how this is, you know, a really big birding destination. And also they have a bird blind on one of the trails we can stand behind, and they have, they have a feeders and stuff. We saw cardinals and huge amounts of cardinals out there, which is really cool. And I didn't even know you guys had cardinals, you know, but I learned.
And the cedar wax wings, which are beautiful. We have repeat guests who are birders, and there's a little tiny hummingbird feeder on the back porch that was put there by those guests. They come out and use our house for birding and meeting up with friends, and they've actually put a bird sighting, I guess some rare bird sighting, into a bird database online with our location tag, geotag. I found that on accident.
Yeah, eBird.
Nice.
eBird and iNaturalist. We use iNaturalist. We have we get so much footage, and the amount of, like, I use Seek on my phone to, like, photograph. That's how I learned about ball moss, by the way. Back to it again. Back to the ball moss. It's called Seek, and you can put on your phone, and you go to take a photo, and it will scan, you know, what's around you and tell you what you're seeing. And we found some interesting things on the trail. And then I upload the photos to iNaturalist, which is the same thing as Seek. And it's used in research everywhere. And some of what we did when we were with you is up there now on the map. So you can see, you can follow Love Your Parks tour on iNaturalist and see all these different species of birds and plants and all kinds of stuff that we've seen on the road, but we have a lot more to upload. But it's a really cool thing because it's citizen science. And, you know, what you're talking about with the birders, that's great for you, that people know that it's there to see a bird that you don't always see. People travel the world for certain birds that they have
on
a list that they can see.
Their life
they travel the world. you know. But yeah. you're running yeah. your own. I have to say, what you're doing with the Black Buck Lodge on your website, blackbucklodgebandera.com, you're like your own visitor bureau, man. I've never seen anybody with a vacation rental like run it like, hey, you need to know everything in the area. So birding is another part. So I encourage everyone
well,
to go
it
there.
Is.
Yeah.
And
it
I
is.
Can tell you an interesting little story about how the birding and the apples kind of sort of connect in our in our history
oh.
of Medina here. So the apple store is by Love Creek Orchard, and the gentleman who owns that, Baxter Adams is the name, acquired in the, I guess it was in the 80s, I don't really know the timelines, but he acquired this place, Love Creek Ranch, that's just up 337 between our place and Lost Maples. And when he acquired it, he found that it had been overgrazed and it was not suitable for keeping animals on. And he called in some people from Texas A&M and what have you, and they did some surveys on how to best restore and conserve this land. And they started growing these dwarf apple trees. And they found that when they produced harvest, they were some of the sweetest apples they'd ever tasted. So they started producing apples and having events around these apples and the harvest of the apples. And then that's how the all of the stuff down in town around Love Creek Orchards, the apple store and the pumpkin patch down there, that's all related to that. Well, in the year 2000, Love Creek Orchard bequested a lot of that to a place called the Nature Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now the Love Creek Preserve, and it's privately maintained by this environmental
wow.
group. And
oh,
they
awesome
do birding group. Tours mm-hmm. in there, yes. And if I could take a minute to tell you a really weird story about this, in my day job, I deal with probate. And I had known this lady that I worked with since 2015, and I knew that her estate went to an environmental group. And she passed on, and I'm in the midst of administering her estate. And all of a sudden, I'm doing keyword research for my blog and, you know, the whole SEO thing that we all try to improve on.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the connection that the Nature Conservancy, who's the beneficiary of my client's estate, is the environmental group that maintains Love Creek Preserve. So it was just a very small world sort of thing. So that's
cool.
sort of how the birding and the apples and everything all became a really big thing in the area of Medina, that Baxter Adams and Love Creek Orchards has been instrumental in really preserving that conservation, you know, conserving land and the variety, the biodiversity up there is said to be just amazing.
That's incredible. I love stories like that because it's true. We're all like connected, you know, and it happens. You know, those kind of things where that is just, that's, yeah, it's a small town, but still, you know what I mean? That's pretty cool that you have all those.
The strangest coincidence.
That is that
that's
but
cool.
It's interesting, but it's
that's
also
cool.
going back to the whole, you know, the birding and having that biodiversity. You know, Nancy and I saw too, like with Medina Creek and the trees there. You know, owls. I swear you have an owl out
mm-hmm.
on your property.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think being able to maintain the biodiversity is so mm-hmm. crucial, and that's what we saw when, you know, we're on foot, which I love, you know, hiking, you see so much more, and you see these tiny, tiny flowers, and maybe these are flowers you don't normally see because these come after a freeze. I don't know, but there are all these different things that I have never experienced. And I love that, you know, we have a big country, and when a place has its natural species, it's going to be different than what you saw like 3 hours away, you know, it's going to change. And you guys really have like different species and like flowers and bugs and I'm into like centipedes and stuff. I've got a cool centipede photo, like a really cool centipede. No, it's cool. And it's red. It's a hot pink red kind of color. It's not hot pink, but it's vibrant. I thought it was like a worm or something, and it turns out it was a centipede. It's very cool. I don't know if people want to hear about centipedes, but I do.
Oh, they're cool.
It's food,
they're cool.
You know? But yeah, I lost maples. It seems like year round. I know you're talking about the you know, going out there in the fall and in the fall colors, but spring, have you been there hiking during the spring and the summer? What, you know, what's going to get like for everybody compared to when we were there?
I've been there so many times. I've been there in every season. And the only time that I just wouldn't really recommend it is in the dog days of summer, unless you're really tough and you have the stamina for it and you have a camelback full of water, you're going to need it. But any other time of the year, it's amazing. There are trails of varying difficulties, so you don't have to do 4.5 miles and go all the way up to the summit to go out there. There are some shorter loops. There are we have lots of links to but Texas Parks and Wildlife is where you'll find the Lost Maples official information, and you can download trail maps out there. So, you know, there's the just shallow water crossings all throughout. You know, there's water crosses the trail many times. So lots of opportunities to stop and soak your feet.
And the Hill Country Park, too, was really neat because that brings in the agricultural history as well. So you're getting this, you know, here, I mean, because it's such an agricultural area with the cattle and everything as well, and the, obviously the dwarf apples. But going out to the Hill Country was a completely different experience, and they're not that far away from each other. And then even when I was going through the state parks, I'm like, there's, like, more state parks we could have done from your house. Like, I love it because you can go out to eat or you can come back and cook something. You can go to a local market. And, you know, there's something really cool, especially if you're hikers. You know, and these are very much hiking parks that you can get up at the crack of dawn, have your own, you know what I mean, that you're on your own schedule, and if you want to eat early or pack a lunch or whatever, you can very easily in a vacation home. And if you're worried about COVID, this is one of the safest ways to travel, is to go to vacation homes and bed and breakfast and small hotels that, you know, your room goes outside. Just, you know, we've been doing this for the COVID travel thing for over a year and done it well. And, you know, these are the kind of places where you can, you know, socially distance. But if you have dietary restrictions or maybe you have a baby or, you know, whoever's in your party, having a kitchen is so cool to have. And especially if you're in Texas and you go get a big steak and you can't eat the whole thing, you need to have a refrigerator and you need to have a big one because they're big steaks in this state. I'm just saying. They're big. So I think that's a really cool thing for when you're going out and hiking around. But Hill Country, it was like a whole other thing too. All the yuccas, it just changed up a little bit, you know. I didn't see as much water there, but maybe we needed to take a different trail. There was some, but not as much as Lost Maples. Have you done that park a lot?
I have not because of our – you see where our location is.
Yeah, you're so close to Lost Maples.
To Lost Maples, and I just love it. I could spend I could go out there and camp even though I've got a house right up the road. It's beautiful. But I think that if you're going to see the Hill Country State Natural Area, you should go rent one of their official horseback tour guides and see it on horseback. So you can cover a whole lot more land because there is water out there. I've seen the pictures of it, and there are some beautiful pictures of the river crossings or creek crossings out there.
We did the one farm trail. I think they called it the pasture trail. It's easy, and it's right next to the wildlife trail. And so, like, what we always kind of do a little bit of different trails to get the different idea. And, like Lost Maples, your scenery changes within that. I mean, it's so biodiverse. It changes. And the
it
same
really
thing
is.
With the Hill Country one, too, because it goes into farmland, which is interesting, versus you got farmland and then you got natural land, and then they've got the median of how it all comes together. Both make for good bird watching and flowers. And we saw like animal scat that I haven't seen. And I think it's ringtail. Do you guys get javelina in Texas?
Yes. Yes. Javelina. But there's a lot of just wild boar hog out there too. A lot of it around our house. And because just across the street is the west prong of the Medina River. So that's where when animals are crossing our driveway, that's where they're headed, is across there to their watering hole.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of activity in there. And the ringtail, we do see those. Of course, they're nocturnal, but we do see those at night.
I dig that.
Interesting.
We saw that one on the way, and I'm like, we thought it was a party.
Yeah,
cool.
And
we met with Mary, and Mary's going to call in soon, and Mary was all like, no, we don't have quaddies here. And I'm like, but it had this kind of tail. It's not a squirrel.
Yeah.
It's not a rabbit, but it ran like it was just a, what is this? You know, I'm like, we are in a new place. And by the way, it is hill country. You do go on like little scenic twirl arounds, you know, but it's cool. I like the twirlies. It's very cool. So nature is a big deal. You got the Medina River. You got, you know, the actual state areas. There's another park that's close by too, and I can't remember the name, but there's another one that I was like, oh, if we had one more day. But I think people could like rent the house. I mean, I don't know, are you allowed to do that, where you could rent it for like 3 to 4 weeks, so a family can just go off? Or like, you know, Nancy's like immediately wanted to set up camp and start painting again on your patio and have like an artist retreat. I think for writers, creative people, it would be the ideal.
I think that would be great. People can rent our house for up to 28 days.
And then check out for a day and come back. You know, but it is, there's a natural spirit there of like being able to be creative. Nancy wanted to paint. She's like, this needs to be a painting retreat for artists.
Exactly.
Come out.
It's
your
a painting
patio.
Holiday. Yeah,
yeah,
it's perfect.
You could just the natural light,
mm-hmm.
and then for writers, it's just like ooh, you know, and everything works, and your internet works, you know, which is cool. I was like, hey, we could have done a show from there.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. You got a kitchen, you know, you've got a patio. It's like perfect. So I think, you know, for people that want to kind of feel at home and relax, that could be your hub, and you could go to all these parks all the way around. I mean, within a 2 hour, and the winery.
Painting holidays are awesome, because once the artists paint the pictures and they exhibit it, then everybody wants to know, well, where is that from? And then you get the marketing from it. Down
exactly.
the road. Yeah,
okay.
Because the paintings go everywhere.
Okay, I do believe we got Lisa here. Hold on a second. Let's see if we got Lisa.
Oh.
I know, we're having a
you
party.
Do.
Lisa's
Hi.
Here.
Yeah,
okay.
This is Lisa.
Lisa.
I'm sorry. I got tied up out in the park, and I just came back to the office.
That's what I said on the show. I know how it is, but, you know, you're not supposed to be tied up. But anyway, welcome.
don't get a visual on that, okay?
I know. Don't tie up the superintendent. But we've been talking about your park. We've got Don here from Black Buck Lodge, and Nancy's here. And I'm going to bring you know, Mary was just calling in. I'm like, stay, call in, Mary. We can all talk. We can just have a party. It's all good. It's Friday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, are you guys getting busy? Because that's what I was saying. It's like Friday is not the best day to call, like have a park ranger or a superintendent call in.
We are continually busy. You know, since the COVID started, we were, at first, we were the only thing that was open. So more and more people got out to parks than ever before. And I know my park and a lot of the other parks in the state have just been slammed. And this Friday I've got a big, huge group coming in from a private school out of San Antonio that rented the whole or booked the whole campsite.
Wow.
Campground. So that's kind of what I was dealing with. And then I looked at my watch and I was like, oh, my God, I missed it. So I apologize.
No problem. Just stay on the line here. We might as well have a party. So I'm going to bring Mary Langlenays. I've been pronouncing this correct, Mary. And it's Mary, M-E-R-R-Y. But Mary, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's good to talk with you all again. Oh, you brought so many things to mind as I've listened.
Can you take the speaker off your phone? Or is it playing somewhere else? Our show is playing.
I'm not sure I know how to do that.
Oh.
Take the speaker off my phone.
Yeah, you've got us on speaker function.
Can you take the speaker off your phone?
I'm gonna mute you for a while you figure that part out. Okay, hold on. Okay, so going back to you, Lisa, the trails that we did, we talked about we went to the Monkey Face that we didn't get all the way there. We didn't get all the way there, but we got all the way back, and then we went on a really cool trail where you said the two ponds meet, like all these water crossings, which is so cool. Does the water increase during the year, or is it best in spring to see the water in Los Maples?
Oh no, we are spring fed, so we almost always have water in the park. Obviously,
wow.
When we have rains, we have running water, but all the water that you see in the park comes from natural springs, and that's why you see little pockets of water, not a full blown river. But we're the headwaters of the Sabinal, so it kind of basically starts here in this canyon and then picks up steam as it goes down toward Topia and on out. So. All of our water, our pond, everything is spring water.
Wow.
Oh, wow, wow. So the one thing, too, when you look at the name Lost Maples, so tell us about that, how that name came to be, because maple trees, and you've got sycamore and maple, and you've got a great display inside the visitor center when you get there showing the difference between the two, because I wouldn't have known unless we went to the visitor center between the leaves, because it gets confusing. But you
right.
have both there.
Yeah.
But tell us about Lost Maples, how it got its name.
Okay, so back when we were in our ice age, obviously the North American landmass was just a frozen tundra. And then when the ice age was over and things started melting, a lot of the runoff came through Texas and ended up in what is now the Gulf of Mexico. So the big tooth maple, those seeds got carried down with this big melt runoff, and it found these canyons here in the hill country, and consequently the canyons were made by all the water that was melting off. But this is supposedly, they don't really know, this is just what they speculate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the seeds got deposited all along the way, and it found the maple tree found a home within these canyons. So we are in the Balcones escarpment, and that's what forms or carries you on into the Edwards Plateau. So anyway, they found a natural home here, cool, shady, lots of water, and they just flourished here. So there's small pockets of maple trees all within the hill country, and there's a few out west, like in the Fort Davis area. But that's all you're going to find in Texas that's natural. There are people who plant them now, but those are what naturally became this.
Oh, wow. And so also, so you've got all these trees, but then the geology part is huge as well. You know, just I know so many people that hashtag geology rocks, because the geology there is incredible. So you got limestone. But then, you know, when we were hiking, we went through this tree tunnel, and you could see up, like there's little caves, and there are birds going in and out, like hawks.
Yeah.
I don't know if there were buzzards or crows going on, but there was some bird action. So it feels like the up, way up in the actual hill, like those are nesting areas.
Yes, those are natural grottos, kind of a natural formed cave from the water. And so they're very moist and natural. They usually have springs that are dripping out from them. So that's why you see a lot of those maidenhair ferns growing in there, is because it's so moist in there. And but they are a natural habitat for a lot of birds and little lizards and all kinds of stuff. But that's all just naturally formed, like the monkey rock. You know, it's a naturally formed monkey rock that was formed from the water that came through the canyon.
It's a rock
that's
monkey.
Funny.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Well, there's all kinds of faces, you know, and that's got to be cool for taking kids out. You know, you always talk about, like, looking up at the clouds and what do you see and what's that cloud shape, you know. But the rocks have got to be a cool thing for kids to look up at the rocks and see the different shapes and go, that's a monkey, this one's a roadrunner, you know, this
yeah,
over there, you know.
The monkey rock is almost as famous as the maple leaves.
See,
a lot of people come just to see the monkey rock, and they don't
they
care less about the maple leaves, so.
Oh, I like your fern. Ow. And listen, we lack the ball moss. We've been talking about ball moss on this entire show. I should just call it the ball moss of the hill country show.
It's cool.
But,
We do have quite a bit of that.
I think, you know, Dawn, you're on Lisa's side, because Lisa said the same thing when we first met her about ball moss, that it's not necessarily that great for the trees, you know. So that's interesting that you both
but
have that
native,
side of the argument.
It's natural, right?
Yeah, they're not a parasite. They just find a place to live, and they don't hurt the tree except for when it gets so crowded that it kind of snuffs out the growth of the leaves. And it's almost always starts at the underneath of the tree where it's shady. And so tree experts say that they don't, it doesn't do any damage. Those limbs were going to, they were going to, you know, they're, they were going to fall off anyway. But when I look at them, I think that I look at those trees and I go, oh, that's too much for them, you know.
Well, maybe, you know, that was nature's way of pruning.
It could be,
yeah, because, I mean, antelope come and prune bushes and eat the leaves according to taste. And so it's a natural thing to keep the trees and bushes not going crazy. So
so
I think the ball moss is just doing its job.
Well, there you go.
We certainly have a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, it's a big job.
The other thing I wanted to ask, you've got that beautiful birding area, that bird blind, and you have birds. That is a cool thing with the, having the bird blind for folks to go and see see the cardinals. And there were all kinds of birds there that I don't, you know, I need you know, help on identifying because we're not from Texas. But, I mean, that was really, I couldn't believe how many cardinals we saw. Just
well,
all
by the end of the birding season, we're a migratory stop for a lot of birds here. So before the season is over, when these birds have gone on to their summer homes, we will have seen 100 species come through here.
Wow!
Oh my
gosh!
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so
oh my
cool.
gosh! Mm.
And so in winter, I know you said you had snow photos and you got snow this year. Everybody got the freeze in Texas, but do you experience like true four seasons in the park?
No. Now, this year's winter was a rare event in Texas all the way around. We had snow New Year's Eve day. We had snow, and I thought, oh, that's kind of special. We had snow this year. So I thought that winter was over, like that was going to be it for us. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, well, 4 weeks later into February, we get hit with this big winter storm that basically shut the state down. So that was a very, very rare event for us. Our winters are pretty mild with just a few just overnight freezes. We don't usually have days and days of freezing temperatures, especially as low as we saw here in the park.
Wow. Mm. Awesome, awesome. Mm. Well, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to get Mary back on. We're going to play some music. You're welcome to sit in on the rest of the show if you want. I don't know how your schedule is with your travelers coming in. But it's up to you. You're welcome to stay and hang out. We're going to talk about butterflies and birds and history. So it's up to you, Lisa, whatever your schedule's like to do.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. And again, I apologize for not calling in on my time slot, and I appreciate you even kind of fitting me in now. So thank you.
No, of course. Thank you. You take care, and we'll see you next time we come around. We'll have to come back
for
another season. All right, you take care. We're going to play a song called Texas Blue Moon. It's from Shelley King, and she is out in the Hill Country. She's in Austin, Texas. She's the First Lady of Music of Texas. She is a legend of Texas music, and she's just one of the best singer-songwriters on the planet. We love Shelley. You got to keep up with her at ShelleyKing.com. Then we'll get Mary on the line and make sure it all works out. But here it is, Texas Blue Moon. And by the way, you got when we drove up to Black Buck Lodge, Dawn, the first thing we were like, dude, you can see the stars. Like, truly see the stars, truly amazing. And that's one reason to get out there is just to enjoy the night sky. That's the beauty of getting out there. So anyway, here's Texas Blue Moon.
Your from heaven above to have me wrapped up in love.
Listening to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, and today's show is all about the Texas Hill Country, specifically Bandera County, the capital of the cowboy capital of the world. And our special guest co-host today is Dawn. Dawn and her husband Jim run and own Bandera Lodge. Black Buck Bandera. I've got to say that right because there's two Black Buck Lodges in the world, but this is the only one in Bandera County. So go to blackbucklodgebandera.com. She's got so much information on the area. Everything we're talking about is on her website, literally. She's a walking visitor center of information. Dawn, are you having fun yet? I think we're covering a lot of ground on today's show.
I'm having fun, and I really enjoyed that song. That was a great one.
Shelly, that was Shelly King, everyone. Texas
she's
Blue Moon
cool.
From her album Fan Fave. She's got one out called One Shot at a Time, and she just got her vaccine, so she's doing it one shot at a time, too.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, she's awesome. Keep up with her at shellyking.com. She's out in Austin. But our next guest, let's see if we could get this working straight with Mary. Mary Languinez, she's a historian. She knows so much. She writes all the history papers for the area of Bandera County. She is a naturalist. She's a photographer. She is an awesome lady. She came and sat out with Nancy and I had a glass of wine out on the porch at Black Buck Lodge. And she is the author of Critters of Red Heart, The Winged Ones, too. It is a beautiful full-color book of photography focusing on the beautiful butterflies. And she's a naturalist. She understands the importance of our pollinators. So let's bring her back on the line here. Hey, Mary, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. It's good to talk to you ladies again.
Oh,
hey,
you
inspired me to tell so many stories as I listen to your other guests. It's hard to know where to start.
I know.
But let me tell you, I'm looking out south toward the canyon to the south, and we have two hummingbird feeders off the deck.
Cool.
And they are filled with black-tinned hummers. They're just fighting with each other, dancing back and forth, eating.
Cool.
So they have arrived. They know it's spring, and we were so happy to see them come again.
That's that is fantastic. Thank goodness not during the freeze, you know. So that's awesome that they made it. And so black-chinned, I think you can get more hummingbirds, but once the Mississippi River happens, that's when I think the East only gets one kind of hummingbird, as I recall. I could be wrong. But how many kind of hummingbirds do you get, the species-wise, do you know?
Well, here at our house, I have photographed three different species, and a fourth one that I was uncertain of. We get the ruby throats, which are slightly bigger than the black chin. The black chin male, you know, if you get the light just right on their gorget or whatever that's called, their gorget, it's purple, and they're so beautiful, and they're so feisty. And they come every year, and they stay for a very long time. The ruby throats come through and don't stay for too long. And then we have the rufous, and they're the biggest that we have. I think in this part of the country there are seven that show up, but here we don't get all of them. I have to tell you a little bit about our topography. We are the second highest point in Bandera County. We're at 2,318 feet, which, you know, if you live in Colorado, that's not too exciting, but it is for the Texas Hill Country, and we are the beginning of what we call the Bandera Canyon Lands. Because of the bridge construction, you guys were not able to drive directly to Ethiopia on this road. But if you had been able to, you would have seen what we call the many canyonlands. It's like Colorado on a minor scale. It's just unbelievably different and gorgeous. You go down toward the Utopia area, and it flattens out. The topography changes. The native plants change. I'm also looking out at a lacy oak tree. They've put on their new spring leaves, and they're all pink, stand out so vividly against the dark green of the ash juniper. It's just a lovely time, even though, I'm talking a long time here, but even though the polar vortex just zapped our beautiful mountain laurels, their leaves were just toasty brown, and all of the little plants that I had put in for the butterflies. So I'm putting out fruit. Some of the butterflies will come to the hummingbird feeders. The butterfly, this has been a big education for me. I have so much I want to tell you. You interrupt me when you want to and ask me questions.
Yeah. I want to touch on this one thing because, you know, when we hiked through Lost Maples and also Hill Country, the state natural areas, we did see plants come to life. We did see wildflowers pop out, and I was like, okay, they're coming. They're smaller. Which kind of what I would expect is kind of also like after going through a wildfire and seeing new species come out. So I don't know if we have old, new, what the species, but they are there. And when you came to visit us at Dawn's at Black Buck Lodge, you know, we saw those beautiful pipeline swallowtails. They were already out there, and it was really dawn. They are mostly interested in the dog area because it's like this lush, beautiful green grass. And so the dogs and butterflies are partying together. And there's even, listen, there's a heart song, Dog and Butterfly, and that song is dedicated to Dawn's backyard. But
I don't know that song.
touch on this because, Dawn, you've also put in a wildflower zone at the front of the property.
And I think
this is really ties into what Mary is talking about, this importance of native plants. And, you know, I don't know what will happen with the freeze and all of that, but Dawn, did you do that really for, like, the restoration of the land, or was it for us to, you know, visitors to see what wildflowers are? Tell us a little bit about that so it can connect in with what Mary is talking about.
Well, you know, I got inspired by a company called the Texas Native Seed Company that's out of Junction, and I believe their website is called seedsource.com. They have a lot of educational materials out there about how treating your whole area of property, if you have a large parcel, like a lawn and mowing it all down is really bad for the pollinators and the babies that are getting born and need cover, you know, from the tall grass and such. And so that was kind of what started that. And we want to do that in phases and start restoring the land and just let most of it be a natural meadow so that it can feed our little pollinators and help our babies.
Absolutely.
You could become a certified wildlife habitat, backyard wildlife habitat through the National Wildlife Federation. I'll send you links. We've done so many shows. And we actually want to do a map of certified wildlife habitats because it's getting people to understand, you know, the importance of no pesticides that are going to kill the, you know, the pollinators or the birds habitat. So you have this natural area that's untouched, and you make sure you provide shelter, which is you've done it with the trees, and you make sure you have water and a water source out there for them. I might forget. I know there's five things, but it's really it's about them being protected. Oh, native plants. Native plants is
native
a huge part for their habitat. So I want to go back to Mary. I know, Mary, you and Don are distantly related in some way. Who knows? That's another scandal for another day. But on this show today, you're I think, related in spirit in regards to the native plants. So what Don is doing, Mary, that's exactly what needs to happen for these pollinators, right?
Exactly. But let me tell you a secret. It's not a secret, but something I learned as I have investigated and learned more about the butterflies here. There are several butterflies, including the Red Admiral, that are consumer decomposers. You will find them where the dog yards are because they eat the decomposing material. That's a food source for them. And I will tell you that after this terrible freeze that zapped so many of the native plants that I put in to bloom to feed the migrating butterflies, the very first I saw this season was a Red Admiral. So I didn't worry about them. I know that they're going to make it just fine because they can eat all kinds of material. If you put out like an orange or something to attract the birds, you might find the Red Admirals come there first. In fact, I think I have a picture in my Critters of Red Heart, the winged ones too, of Red Admirals feeding on the butterfly. We were very fortunate. This property that we live on, no one had lived here in this particular little parcel for thousands of years at least, maybe before that, because we find chippings of flint where the ancients were chipping out their arrowheads and so forth. But no one had mown it. No one had tried to plant carpet grass. So we had all these native plants and native flowers. I guess I have photographed and well enough to document somewhere between 75 and 80 species of butterflies on this property, and as many birds or more. Lisa beat me with 100. I think I only have about 80 birds. But because the migrators come through here, we get so many warblers and so many unexpected birds to show up. So it's been a real delight for us.
Awesome.
We've become fully naturalists. I always was to a degree. My husband was kind of a city dweller. But he's learned to be a country boy, so that's what it's like.
See, but this is the beauty of
it's
your. And I know you live down the road from Blackback Lodge. I do want to ask you on your book, Critters of Red Heart, the Winged Ones too. Please tell us, Red Heart, what that means. What is Red Heart about?
Yes, when we first came to this property, there are big cuts in the road. And the banks on either side are very red. The stone, particularly when it gets wet, it's very red. So we're right in the middle of this red heart rock. Plus, I relate that also to Native American theories. You know, if you have a red heart, you appreciate the land. You appreciate the natural world. So it just fits. So that's what we named our little piece of property.
Red Heart too, and I think that's part of what ties Nancy and I back to Africa is that red soil. Like that to me is home. Like I want to roll in it. I am, you know, Don. You said you want to roll like pig in the mud. Like I'm like I wanted that red clay because I know that red clay is good for your skin. I want to roll in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like the pigs. I'm in there with the hogs, the pigs. It's the javelinas. Do you get armadillos?
Oh,
that's
yes.
our state mascot.
Absolutely.
Well, why do we see an armadillo? I want
one.
I saw a dead
one. We've seen one
and one that was Louisiana.
Yeah,
Louisiana.
And we've seen one live one.
I want to see live ones.
They're not as many around as they used to be. A lot of people feared that they carried leprosy, and many of them were destroyed in the past. And there was a terrible, this gets into history a little bit, but a terrible thing that people did, I guess, during World War One, they started it, when all the soldiers were sent down here to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio for training. They would kill the armadillos and make purses out of them for the soldiers to send back home as souvenirs from Texas. Not a good thing, my perspective.
Well, let's move on from that.
Here's your leprosy bag.
I know, but the left, you see, but fear, but that's amazing what fear does. Fear and not knowing, you know, fear is, you know, not knowing, and that's what it's about. But they're so cute, and I think and they lack, you know, red dirt as far as I know. Dawn was talking earlier about the Polish community, and that's something we sat outside. You brought these books. I mean, we could sit and talk. This is what's amazing. We're talking small communities. Medina's like tiny. Vanderpool is tiny. Utopia is really tiny, but it's Utopia, right? And I mean, there's we went by. Is it Taylor Springs? Oh, I'm gonna get it wrong. Your family was got relatives. You know what I'm talking about? On the way to Los Maples.
Are you speaking of Tarpley, perhaps?
That's it. Tarpley, that's it. We did go by there, and I'm like, well, where can we stop to, like, you know, connect with her relatives, Mary's relatives? But the amount of history that you were sharing with us, and we're not even, I mean, we can't even, not even get to the scratching the surface of it, is amazing in such a small region, like small communities, let's put it that way. It's not a small region when you think about all the ranch land and everything, but we're talking about some people that when they settled this land, I mean, you're talking about that pioneer spirit that's just, it reminds me of what was going on in Colorado. You think about people coming through in wagons or on horseback and, you know, to settle this kind of land, the land is not easy to settle at all. So, you know, obviously Native Americans are indigenous people first, right? Of course, we also have the Mexican and Hispanic, you know, communities that, you know, this was our land at one point too. But the Polish, I wasn't aware of that. I knew we had German, and I knew, you know, I like Norteno music and, you know, the Umpaba, and I know you have a lot of South Africans out there too. But the Polish, how did that happen with a Polish community coming in?
Well, there was such disruption in Europe, the Germans, the German line and the Polish line, and things were difficult. There was a lot of poverty, and then they were being conscripted into the German army. They didn't want to do that. So a lot of them came. They came on the big sail ships, and they entered Texas at the coast. Many of them came up in the old Mexican donkey wagon to make their way here. It was a terrible, arduous journey, and a lot of the folks that didn't make it all the way, but they came into the Bandera area as shingle makers. They worked very hard at it and thrived. So there was a group of, I think, 13 families that settled in the Bandera area. I hope I don't get this wrong. The Dugosh family will correct me if I don't say it exactly right. But they've remained here and are a strong influence in the community. There's also a large Czech population that came from Europe at about the same time, perhaps a bit later. So we're really, we're Americans. We're very mixed. All kinds of folks have come and settled here. There was also a group of Mormon that came trying to escape the negativism that came to them. And there was an individual named Lyman White who bought a group here. They settled at Medina Lake. There was no lake there. It was the river. They chose not to go to Utah. So they were there. As I've done history, I've written a book about my great-grandparents, my great-grandfather named the little town of Tarpley. And I find it interesting that Don also mentioned Mac and Ernie's. It's right next door to a two-story house that my great-grandfather built. He finished it in 1909. It's still there, and there's a little store there still, painted bright blue, that he built. It was the first store. They left early on and decided to take 485 Angora goats to Colorado. They left in a single covered wagon with like 9 children. Didn't work out too well. They had to come back to Texas. But during that time, that pioneering time, everybody was looking for prosperity. Everybody who came, the Mormons, the Czechs, the Polish, as well as my great-grandparents who came down from Oklahoma via Alabama and all of that. But, yeah, so we're a wonderfully mixed, homogenous American community.
I love that. I think that's what makes it special, you know, and it's interesting in how everyone comes together, and you're going to find it more in the food, I think. That's what we, you know, before we go into museums, we'll eat it. and also the churches. One thing I want to touch on is the courthouse. It's the first thing we ran out to do. Don, can you tell us about that? Because Mary can tell us the other side of the courthouse story, but you were telling us, you know, apparently we should have stopped in Kentucky and got the twin courthouse photo while we were in, was it Louisville or Lexington? We've done both. I can't remember now.
It's Burlington.
Oh, Burlington.
Yeah,
okay,
we'll go there.
We were right there driving from it. Well, you know, we're driving fools, but we'll get there. We'll get there this year. I guarantee it, because we'll be able to get there somehow. But this courthouse is beautiful, and it's something we do a Law and Order map story for Ward Heinrichs. He's our employment attorney expert on our shows, and he sent us on a story mission. A lot of people have sent us on story missions, and one of them is Law and Order. And we were doing a lot of, like, gunslinger things, and you would go to graveyards and find, like, who was, you know, buried, who shot so-and-so over here or did something, you know, back in the, you know, like Wyatt Earp stuff. But then we started realizing these courthouses, really beautiful when it came to architecture, that often, and Mary, you correct me on this, but the courthouse was when a community started to become a city or a town. Like, it started to go from tent city to, okay, now we have something going on, because when drama happens, then we need to have law and order, which means the town is growing. And here would come in these, you know, courthouses with one of these, the found, like, that would be your first, one of the first big buildings in a community was the courthouse. And so now we're into this whole courthouse thing. And I would think even just driving through Bandera Dawn, that is like an iconic building there. So you were saying we needed to cover that because wasn't the architect did two or something like that, one in Kentucky, one there?
That's correct. Some of the locals in Bandera have taken to calling it Bantucky, and that is a reference directly to twin courthouses that were designed back in the late 1800s by an outfit called the McDonald Brothers. And, you know, it was sort of a pop-up design where they, you know, it was sort of a modular design that they sort of built all these courthouses with the same basic design, but then they had different modular options. So some of them have the round top, and some of them have a bell tower, and they are made with whatever local materials they had on hand. And somebody's done a whole on TexasEscapes.com. There's a whole article that talks about how that came about, and Mary probably knows way more about it than I do.
No, Don, you're filling me in as well. The beautiful thing about the courthouses, of course, ours in Bandera is the county seat. If you built the courthouse, that became the county seat, and that was a much sought-after thing to happen. And sometimes in history you read that the courthouses were burned so that another community could build a courthouse, and then they
is that why
the community
I
seat.
Didn't mm. know that
yes.
because I've this
yes.
and it's been driving me nuts because we'll go do a photograph of, you know, courthouse, do this, and I'll start doing the history, and I'm like, well, no, this was originally burned and then they rebuilt it. I'm like, why are all these courthouses burned and then they're rebuilt? So
mm-hmm.
they want it back, essentially. Depending
yeah, they want it back.
Wow.
Of course, ours is constructed in huge blocks of local limestone, so it's not going to burn very easily. But I think I sent you ladies a picture. The courthouse
mm-hmm.
was this wonderfully complex, beautiful, sophisticated-looking building. And then you still see in one of the early photographs the settlers coming in covered wagons. So
mm-hmm.
it's a big juxtaposition of the old and the established. It sort of blows your mind that the two could coexist at the same time.
Mm.
And it's very interesting. Different people claim that their ancestors built our courthouse. Some say it was the Russians. Some of the Polish people say no. They were the Polish men that came and did this. However it happened, we're very proud of it. It's a beautiful building.
And you've got
well,
to think about
so,
back then building them. Oh, go ahead, Don. Sorry.
Apparently it was the McDonald brothers. There's a letter on this TexasEscapes.com that tells the history, and it shows pictures of the courthouses side by side. It's fun to see the comparison. But Matthew Becher, or B-E-C-H-E-R, he was the Boone County, Kentucky Historic Preservation Review Board planner. And he wrote to Texas Escapes, and he was the one that said, yeah, it's obvious that these were built. And he's mapped out some of these McDonald Brothers courthouses that still exist, that I guess that weren't burned down around the country. So it's fascinating history.
Mm-hmm.
It is. They should have golden arches, and you drive through to get your verdict.
No.
Come on.
Boom.
It'd be fun. Drive through
verdict.
Especially
during COVID time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a pandemic. A drive through verdict. I know, and the jury
it's
could be out
jury.
On the lawn. But when you
uh-huh.
think about these buildings, you know, they are so iconic. It's like when you go, especially in historic towns with their downtowns, that have kept their downtown and the integrity, like, you know, Bandera and Medina have definitely kept who they are, you know, as communities. And you're going to have the new stuff come in too. I mean, it's just that balance. But when you have that downtown that has that section where you can feel what it was like, it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And but the courthouses, you drive into a place, you see that, and you're like, what went down? Like,
mm-hmm.
And you think about building it back then. I mean, getting
mm-hmm.
those huge bricks of whatever they were making it of, or, you know, so many of them are Grecian with those big pillars, and I don't know about architecture, but I'm like, dang, this was expensive
the
and a
pillars.
Lot of work and a lot of pride, and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of interesting. You know, so I do want to touch on this, Mary. I know we're running out of time, and our show has been a crazy show today. But I wanted to touch on you've got a medicine man, and you got some interesting people to talk about. You got Dr. Wheeler and Tommy Two Braids, like
yeah,
Tommy
yes,
Two Braids.
Let me tell you a little bit about that. I wrote the Bandera County Historian for about 8 years, and so I was always excited to find unique stories. And my neighbor down the road, the Wheelers, had kept all the information about their ancestor. This man, Wheeler, he named himself a doctor. He created a concoction. They actually saved all of his receipts for what he got to put in it. They wouldn't share all that with me because they don't want anybody else to make his special potion. But then he would go around and do various medicine shows, and they claimed that this potion, it cured everything from dandruff to menopausal cramps. I mean, anything in the world.
What about leprosy?
Potion.
I just got to bring that back up. Sorry.
I don't think you mentioned leprosy, but everything else. But as he did these medicine shows, also there was this fellow who came to be called Tommy Two Braids, and some guests had come to one of the medicine shows, and they recognized this person that was performing at the medicine show with his young daughter. And, you know, they wore the garments and so forth of Native Americans, and the young lady also did that, and she did tricks on the horses that were the same, and she was taught by Native Americans. So the idea was that he had grown up with Native Americans, but he was not a Native American. So as they investigated, they decided that he was an individual that was captured by Native Americans early on, taken from the family, from the Hatfield family. There had been a terrible massacre. And
the Hatfield and McCoys?
Well, I don't think the McCoys were here. It was just the Hatfield.
Okay.
But at any rate, he survived. They captured him, a young man. His sister was very badly wounded, I think stabbed 7 times, run over with a horse, but she survived. And she was visiting this medicine show that Dr. Wheeler was putting on and thought she recognized her brother. So she invited him to come, and she accepted him, Tommy Two Braids, as her brother for some time. But then they began to say, no, he's not really my brother. That's not who he is. So it's still unknown. Some people said, well, he's really this person, and he learned all that information about the Hatfields from someone else he met. It wasn't really that. But at any rate, eventually they rejected him. He went on into doing shows as an older man. So there's still perhaps a little bit of, or maybe a lot of bad feelings from the Hatfields that still exist in Medina. And, you know, one of the old store that you saw in Medina, that was the Hatfield store. It was a grocery store at one time. Other people sold blocks of ice out of there at one time. They got tin during World War II. Tin cans were brought to them. They would go into San Antonio and get them, give them out to the neighbors so that they could can their food that was so critical during World War I and into World War II.
Mm.
So there's just layers upon layers upon layers of history in this area. And it's a small town. You know, a lot of people are moving in. But still, it's such a small town, you can almost never go to the post office and not see someone you know. And that's a warm and comfy feeling.
That is nice. I mean, to me, we've gotten so distant in cities, you know. And I think you do have your community and your clan, and I think we recognize that a lot during COVID, where everybody's, you know, not around each other and miss each other, and we start to realize just that importance. And you know, when we lived in this small town in San Diego and Julian, and your area really does also remind us a little bit of Julian, which I think we lived in, is there's this between the mountain and desert feel, and there was this.
I love Julian.
You know what we're talking about. We used to live in Julian, and you understand what we're talking about, the whole country then, being connected in a way. If you go down Banner Grade to the desert, to Anzaburga Desert, that to me has a little bit of that vibe, especially when we did the Hill Country Park. I was like, I'm hiking in that one. There's this just one area of this grade, Banner Grade, this mountain pass, where the tarantulas used to migrate. It was so cool. But anyway, people don't like that. I do. But anyway, there's this feel of it. But I think, you know, that small town, and if you didn't keep up with everybody in the small town, they'll create gossip for you. So it was important that you got out there in the community. Because they will create the story about you for you. And that's
if
the hard thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that the hard thing about history? Is that when you read it, history is hard because, I mean, back in the day, the dime novels that were written about Jesse James and all of that, half of it wasn't even true. It was just a really good story, and it was entertainment. Benjamin Franklin wrote the first Farmer's Almanac, and it was a farce. It was a joke. Yet it was something cool for people to read. You know, you got to think about that. It was fun. But that's kind of that thing about small towns that I think is an attractive part of the lore. You want the lore, but as a historian, it's hard to separate the lore from the truth, right?
Right. And as a small town and small communities all around us, Vanderpool, Utopia, we're trying to maintain and preserve the serenity and the pristine qualities of the water and preserve the natural landscape and the beauty of it. And I think the people, you know, we have an organization called the Banda Arich Lands Alliance, and we have members, their landowners here. Some have been on their land so many generations, over 100 years on these ranches. Others are newcomers that are coming in, but they come because they sense that same thing you're talking about, Lisa, the serenity, the peacefulness. You know, people come out here and they just take a deep sigh and they want to go take a nap because they're not getting all this bombardment of energy.
I'm ready to come back now.
City.
I want to bury my computer. We need a computer graveyard where I can say, rest in peace, Delilah.
Right.
I'll be nice to my computer.
My deck.
I want to go back to Black Buck Lodge, and we have so much more to do. There's a museum in Bandera we didn't get to, but we did get to a lot. That's the thing. There is a lot, and I think, you know, Dawn, you've done A to Z, but you're going to have to do part two, and you know you can, right? You know this. I want to know, are you enjoying doing all this research and getting all these blogs out because you're kicking butt on them? I mean, are you like enthused about being part of the community as you're writing these blogs? Like, dude, this is my backyard.
Well, I love the place so much. Like I said, I've been coming there since I was a baby. I can literally still remember in my dad's old red pickup truck going up the gravel part of 337 when it wasn't even blacktop yet. So I just really have a passion about the area. I love it. And I just want people to have the best experience they can. And, of course, the stuff that I'm writing about is all of my favorite stuff. There's so much more out there to do than just what I know about. So check it out.
Awesome. I want to thank you both for joining us. Also, Lisa Fitzsimmons, Superintendent of Lost Maple State Natural Area out in Vanderpool. You guys have to go there, and Hill Country State Natural Area as well. Both of them are outstanding to really get the terrain and the biodiversity of this region. It really is biodiverse. And if you want to know more about that, go get Mary's book. Again, it's called Critters of Red Heart, The Winged Ones, number 2. Mary Baker,
it's beautiful.
Langlinet, and now Mary, and it's Mary, like Merry Christmas, right? Baker,
yes,
Langlinet,
yes.
L-A-G-L-I-N-A-I-S. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
No, say Langlinet. Think French.
Oh, wow.
Langlinet.
Oh, la-di-da. Langlinet. La-di-da. Well, you can get it on Amazon, everyone. She's got other books on there as well, so look her up on Amazon. I know. I love it. And then keep up with Black Buck Lodge. You know, so much information on there. So go to Black Buck Lodge, Bandera.com, and go stay there. Go have a good time. Thank you both for joining us. We're going to close with some more Texas music. Well, there's a
cool
song.
Thank you.
Well, actually, from guitarist, you know, he's an incredible guitarist, Misha Schellhoff. He's from Germany. He's lived around the world, and he did live in Austin for a while. And this is from his album Double Take, and you can keep up with him at MishaMusic.com. And this song is called Texalians. And actually, you know how much Texas music I have? It's pretty impressive, actually. Like, you guys have got a lot of music going on. And next time we come around, because I want to go back. I'm just saying, I'm knocking on your door, Dawn. I know, Nancy.
You are welcome.
You know what? Ed, listen. Texas, you guys play Ryan Bingham on the radio, and we love that. We've had him on the show, and Lucas Nelson and all that, and Titty Bingo out in Austin. All of you guys have been on our shows, and it's so cool to drive through Texas and hear it on the radio, not just our albums and stuff, but actual radio playing Texas music, and there's nothing like Texas radio. Nothing compares. Texas you guys don't play Hotel California every single day on every single station.
Thank you for
so
that.
So I want to give you a big shout out, thumbs up to that. But no, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Everybody's sold out. Everybody has sold out on music, on radio stations. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Really, play some of your local music, and you guys have, and it just make me so happy. So anyway, in Louisiana, you do it too, and so does Mississippi. There's three states that do it. The rest, well.
So next time, when we go there, I want to paint on the porch.
Okay. All right.
That would be so wonderful.
I really want to do that.
All right, ladies, thank you for joining us. We're going to close off. Here's a song, Texalians, and keep up with Misha at MishaMusic.com. Thank you all for joining us. And don't behave. It's Friday. You can do anything you want.
That's right.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care, ladies.
Take care, ladies.
Bye.